9 and lesson number 9, the golden rule. How many have been tested on the golden rule this week? Amen. Doing unto others as you would have them do to you. Amen. I know I have been. Amen. And by the way, we will continue to be tested on the golden rule as long as we live. So nobody needs a book. Everybody's got one. Okay. Amen. The golden rule, we will be continually tested on that. And today we're going to talk about the motivation. But Ephesians 4:29, let's go over there. Let me get myself there as well. Ephesians 4:29. All right. How many were tested on Ephesians 4:29 this week? Amen. I know I was.
I was.
I was. And you know what tests you the most on this is when people say some stuff to you and you want to say something bad that you know you ought not say. And you have to really, as they would say, bite your tongue.
Yeah.
And some of us bite it slap off. Amen. You just bite that thing off. It falls on the ground. Amen. Because you want to say it so bad. I mean, and you want to say, you want to give them a piece of your mind. So, you know, it does get better.
Yeah.
You know, God still works in us. Amen. So if you bit your tongue good, there is spiritual surgical tape. God will help you out. Sew that thing back in. Amen. All right, Ephesians 4:29, let's go over there, and we're going to read, say the reference, then read the verse, then the reference, amen? Here we go. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:29. Oh, God, we all need a lesson in this verse. And, Lord, we all need restraint when it comes to this verse. Lord, we so desperately want to give people a piece of our mind and tell them how we think about a certain thing or issue. Lord, maybe just retaliate for some things that were said to us that need not have been said. God, help us to employ the Holy Spirit's power to, Lord, act this verse out, to practice this verse, and to give those things that are good. That, Lord, they may be used to edify the hearer, that, Lord, others that may hear around us can benefit from it. Lord, we think of the testimony that even Miss Faye gave, how others benefited from the testimony around them that heard what she said. God, help us to have that same mindset and mentality to give out that which is good to the use of edifying. Work in our Sunday school hour today. And Lord, bless now that you may get all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. You guys are blessed this morning. I remembered my watch. I was walking out of the house and I felt naked on my arm. And I thought, what's missing? And then it was my watch. So you guys are blessed because I know what time it is now. Otherwise, it would have been a long sermon this morning and a long Sunday school, with the exception of the knock on the door. Amen. But I do have my watch, and so I know what time it is. We've got a short lesson today, so we actually may be done early today, and you guys will get the refreshments early. Amen. Y'all like that?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all want to stay in here the whole time? I got one amen. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that. Amen. One spiritual person. The rest want to go and get fleshly fed. Amen. All right. The golden rule we're talking about here. And the golden rule, many people know about it. And all of us have to live it and employ it. It's easier quoted than it is lived. Amen. It's easier read than practiced. Amen. Let me get you caught up to date. Amen. Let's go over there to Matthew. Chapter number 7 and verse number 12. Ephesians 4:29, we should have that under our belts. We don't want to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. If the corrupt communication does escape out of our mouth, what should we do? Walk away. Well, you know, walk away. Amen. If we do let corrupt communication come out of our mouths, and it shouldn't have, what should be the first thought that should come to our mind? Repent, ask for forgiveness, amen. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you with your tongue. That should be the first thing. The second thing, yes, ma'am.
Well, I just kind of want to ask a question. My daughter asked me a question. Now, I said there were 3 weeks.
It is. It is, especially because the Bible says do all things without murmuring and disputing. So it is corrupt. That would be considered corrupt, and also it's contagious. What happens if you take spoiled food and put it with good food? It spoils the good food. And so if I've got murmuring going on, I let that come out, it's going to affect others around me. So that is absolutely correct. Amen. So one of the first things I should do, if corrupt communication comes out, immediately repent. When I first got saved, since Jesus came into my heart, amen, I got out there and I went back to work on Monday. And man, I cursed and blankety blank. And right off the bat, I felt so bad. You know what I had to do first of all? Confess it to God. I had to confess it to God. And get right with God. Now, praise God, nobody else was around, so nobody else heard it. So I didn't have to tell them to forgive. Now, by the way, when you curse around people that are not Christians and you say, please forgive me, what's their normal reaction?
For what?
Yeah, for what? You don't have to, you know, what's the problem? You know, and what should be our reaction?
Answer to God.
I answer to God, we say, Tasha? It is a problem. Do we teach our children to talk like that? So then it's a problem. If we don't teach our children to talk like that, then it's a problem.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I taught my child to do that, it's still a problem. Because children shouldn't speak that way. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
because if you say it to a child, guess who? The child's going to say it to somebody else, whether it's at school or whether it's at home. And they're going to say, well, what, my mommy calls, you know, so-and-so that, or my daddy calls so-and-so that, you know. In my house, the word, the going word is heifer. Now, to y'all, that doesn't seem like anything, but in my house, that, you know, you messed up if you've been called a heifer. I mean, because since I grew up, everybody that did something wrong, you were a heifer. Amen. And so in my house, hey, you heifer, you know. And so, you know, in my house, if you're called a heifer, that's pretty bad. You know, I mean, this is a heifer, that's a heifer, this is a heifer, you know. And my son's even adopted heiferism. That's a heiferism thing that you're doing. I mean, they're just making heifer into all these words. You've been heifered. You're a heifer. You're a heifer, you know. And so, you know, it depends on what you say. But we know certain things are corrupt. They're bad. And so we ought not say those things. And we need to confess it, first of all, to God. But if somebody is around, we should say, hey, forgive me. I shouldn't have spoken that way. They say, well, I see anything wrong there. I do. I do see there is a problem with that. I'm a new creature in Christ, and as Christ's creation, I shouldn't be speaking that way. And they may say, wow. Yes.
Also, it's not always like you say in your house, heifer is an indicator in there. Well, sometimes it's not the words that you say, but the intention you say.
Yes, that is true. The intention behind it. That is very, very true. And so when you deal with corrupt communication is very, very broad in its spectrum. It could be different ways. It could be the methodology behind it or the intent behind it. So go over here to Matthew 7:12. This is the golden rule. We've discussed that already. Notice there, therefore, how many things? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So you should treat men the way you want to be treated. Amen. And so we looked at this already, Roman numeral 1, and we saw the magnitude of this. All things, it includes all communication, which was A. We saw B, it includes all disagreements. We should treat someone the way we want to be treated in disagreements. We should see includes all corrections. We should correct someone the way we want to be corrected. By the way, let's talk about this. How do we correct our children? We should correct our children the way we want to be corrected. You know, if we don't want someone coming down on us and kicking us and all these other things, then we shouldn't do that to our children. I mean, is that fair? Yeah, it's fair. If you come down on the child, guess what? You don't have a parent over you that may come down on you, but who may come down on you? God may. Who else may God use in his place? The children may come back. The boss may come down on you. The principal may come down on you. The law may come down on you. So you still have authorities over you as a parent. And so the way you correct your child, you have to be conscious of the fact that I go to work or go to school or wherever I go in life, I may have someone that needs to correct me. How do I want them to correct me? Do we all need correction at one time or another?
Yes.
Yeah, we all do. Amen. And my daughter, she's always correcting me. Daddy, the speed limit says 55, and you're doing 57. Well, honey, they do give us grace, you know. So, you know, you got to be going at least 50, you know, 60 to get a ticket. But daddy, speed limit says 55. Who's driving this car? No. So what do? I slow down.
Amen.
Why? A, she's right.
Yes, sir.
B, I don't want to sear her conscience of that which is right.
Right.
You know, because today it's 55, but tomorrow is, well, daddy, you said take 4 cookies, but I took 7 because the speed limit said 55 and you went 58. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
So I broke man's law. She's going to break my law. So I've got to break down and respect that and say, okay, I don't want to sear her conscience, but wear blindfolds next time you drive with me. No. So it includes all corrections. D, it includes all witnessing opportunities. We should witness to someone the way we want to be witnessed to. By the way, have you ever had somebody before you got, say, witness to you and you didn't like the way they witnessed to you? I did. I had a guy come to me, Dawson, you just need to be saved. And I tell him, you just need to get out of my face. That approach did not appeal to me at all. Now, to some people, it might appeal to. It didn't appeal to me. And so we've got to be conscious and cognizant of the fact that there are different ways to witness to different people, and you have to know who you're talking to so you know how you can talk to them. Now, certain people I've been hard on, certain people I've been soft on. It depended upon who I was speaking to and knowing what they could handle and what they could take. So it includes all witnessing opportunities. We need to do that as well. And then E includes all prayers. And so I need to pray for others the way I want to be prayed for. Now, if you don't want somebody to pray for you, don't pray for anybody else. But then when the big thing comes up, guess what? You might say, can you really pray for me? I'll pray for you the same way you pray for me. Hey, that's not saying much. Hey. But the same way I want people to pray for me, I should pray for them. And then it comes down there, F, it includes all actions. And so in my actions, I have to make sure what I do and how I respond and how I behave, I do what I would like someone doing to me. If I don't want someone doing that to me, I probably shouldn't do that to someone else. Amen. Which brings us to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 1, our motivation, the magnitude is all about all things. But then we're coming up to Roman numeral 2, the motivation. The motivation. The motivation. What motivates you? They used to ask those actors, what's your motivation? You know, they ask athletes, what's your motivation? Well, I want to be the MVP of the finals and I want to score 50 points and blah, blah, blah. What's your motivation? Well, you know, I want to be the best defensive player. What's your motivation? Well, I want to be the best quarterback and win 6 Super Bowls so I can beat Joe Montana. Not Joe Montana. What's Tom Brady's name? Tom Brady's team. The Patriots, amen. I want to win more championships so I can be like Tom Brady and New England Patriots, amen. That's my motivation. I want to surpass him. I want to be like Michael Jordan. I want to win 6 NBA champions. No, I want to go past. I want to be like Bill Russell and win 16, amen. So what's your motivation, they always ask. And so Roman number 2, the motivation. Notice the verse here in verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever, whatsoever ye would, notice this, that men should do to you. This is basically the golden rule. And the golden rule here is how what you want men to do to you. So basically, your behavior is going to be, hey, I want to do something good to others because that's what I would want done for me. That's the motivation here. And by the way, it's different from other religions. So your A here, what our motivation is not. What our motivation is not. And let me read you something here that's in the book. what our motivation is not. It says here, our motivation is not, notice this, so that men will treat us the way we want to be treated. That's not our motivation. I'm not doing it so that others can treat me good. Okay? So in other words, I'm not giving Jerry Duffy $5 so she'll give me $5 back. Okay? I'm not sweeping Brother Duffy's carport so he'll sweep my carport one day. I'm not trimming Littrell's hedges so he'll trim my hedges one day. That's not why I'm doing this. Okay? So our motivation is not so that men will treat us the way we want to be treated. Our motivation is simply the love of Jesus Christ. Because God loved me and he did something special for me, not really asking for anything in return, but because I love him, guess what? I give him a return. I give him a return. Now think about this just for a moment. You pour love into a child and technically you're not really expecting anything back. But when you pour love into a child, what does the child tend to do later on in life? Love you back. Why? That's what they experienced. And because they experience love, they'll give love back. Now, on the contrary, if you give negativity to the child, what does the child tend to give you back? Negativity, because that's what they experienced. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Well, fake love? Not really, amen. Makes us feel good, though, amen. So you say, you love me, I love you, oh, I feel so good. Now say it without being prompted. Well, you know. So that's like telling the child, now say you're sorry. Sorry. Well, that didn't do any good. Say it like you mean it. I'm sorry. Say it like you really mean it. I'm sorry. Is that what you want to hear? No, you want the sorriness to come from their heart that they're really broken about what they did. Not come back with, I'm sorry. There's no repentance in that. As you say, sister, that's fake, amen. It's a fake sorry. So what our motivation is not, it is simply the love of Christ. He asked us to treat others the way we want to be treated, and he did not tell us to expect that kindness in return. But can we expect kindness in return some way, shape, fashion, or form? Yes. Yes. Hold your finger there. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Yes, I can expect it back some way, shape, fashion, or form. Now, this is not why I do it. Galatians chapter 6. This is not why I do it, but I can expect something back. Galatians chapter 6, and notice verse number 7 there. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth. Is there a quantity on that? Or is that a specific when he says whatsoever? No. No, so that could be love, it could be kindness, it could be compassion. Whatsoever a man soweth, what is the rest of that? That shall he also reap. So if I sow it, I'm going to get it back some way, shape, fashion, or form. Now, it may not be the way you expected to get it back. I've given money to a lot of people. When I went to the Grand Canyon, I did not expect that guy to come up to me and give me $100. Did not expect it. Didn't see it coming at all. But now, did I give my money hoping that one day God's going to help give me $100 back? No. I gave money out of the kindness of my heart because I wanted to give it. Okay. Another case, another guy gave me $100. Was I expecting to get that or did I give to get that? No. No. But I gave out of the kindness of my heart because I know God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And because God loves a cheerful giver, God is not going to be a debtor to me. He's going to make sure I get paid back for my sowing. And so when you come to Galatians, I know that whatever I do, whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. So our motivation is not to get something back, but I will get something back because that's God's principle. Amen. So when you look at this verse here, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, we have to ask ourselves, what am I sowing? And whatever I'm sowing, I'm going to get back. Then we had to ask the question, what do I want to get back? Good. Amen. Do I want to really get bad back? No. So should I give bad out? No. And you know how you get bad back? Pressed down, shaken down, running over, amen, and God's going to give. Same way he gives, when you give, what does it say? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. When I do something bad, guess what? I reap what I sow, I reap later than I sow, and I reap more than what I sow. It's a principle. So if I'm going to do something, my motivation should be because I love God and God tells me to be kind to someone else. Amen. So that's what my motivation, what my motivation is not. It's not to get something back. They list here three different religions that have a golden rule as well. All right. And it says here, our motivation is unlike other religions because our motivation is not negative. Okay. Listen to the golden rule for Confucianism. Do not do to others what you would not like yourself. Doesn't that sound like something we've heard before?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Confucianism. Then, and then this is the rest of it. Then there will be no resentment against you, either in the family or in the state. That's Confucianism. That's their golden rule. Here's Buddhism's golden rule. Hurt not others in ways that yourself would find hurtful. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Here's Hinduism's golden rule. This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you. Those three, Confucianism, do not to others that you would not like yourself. Buddhism, hurt not others in the way in that yourself would find hurtful. Hinduism, this is the sum of the duty. Do not unto others what you would not have them do unto you. So these other religions state their golden rule, but negatively first. Negatively first. Stating we should not treat people the way we don't want to be treated. But what does God say? Treat people the way you want to be treated. They turn around and say, don't treat people the way you don't want to be treated. God says, no, treat them the way you want to be treated. There's a negative to theirs. There's a positiveness to God's. The problem with that is what? What is the main problem with saying, okay, don't do bad to them because you don't want bad back? What is the problem with that?
Sometimes when you bring negativity first, you're going to get that thought in your head before you get anything else.
True. That's true. Daniel? It is subjective. Yes, that's true. And Fred? Doesn't say anything about doing good to others. So in other words, it's selfish, basically. It's selfish. I'm concerned about me. I'm really not concerned about you. I'm just concerned about what you can do for me. Whereas God says, do something good for others, regardless of what they do for you. But the other one says, well, don't do bad to them because you don't want them doing bad back to you. That's selfish. That has a selfish connotation to it. So there's listed negatively. The motivation has to do with an anticipated outcome. I don't want to do you bad because I don't want you to do me bad. So it's an anticipated. I'm concerned about me. So I don't want any of you to do me bad. And so I'm not going to do bad to you. So then what happens when somebody does bad to you? You get mad. And not only do you get mad, sometimes you get even. And then when you get even, you let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. So when you look at this, amen, many of the other religions teach this thing negatively, say, don't do what you don't want done to you, whereas Christ says, do what you want done to you, amen. So what our motivation is not, it is not selfish, it is not with an anticipated outcome, that is selfishness, and the motivation for that is not Christian. It is not Christian. Amen. So the motivation given by Christ has nothing to do with self. Amen. So B, what is our motivation? What our motivation is? What our motivation is? Let's go to Matthew 7. We've already gone through this. So we'll kind of come down here a little quickly. Matthew 7. Let's go back there. So A is what our motivation is not. It's not negative. It's positive. We're going on the offense. We're wanting to do something that Christ has told us to do. And then be what our motivation is. And as Christians, our motivation is to honor the Lord and to be a blessing to others. Amen. Back in chapter 7 in verse number 1, they list those verses down there. And they give you a behavior pattern to follow. Most of that is difficult at best to adhere to. So when it comes down there, notice in verse number 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So the Bible gives us a clear presentation of how we can pray and ask God to bless us. But let me show you what's the hard part about this. Go back to chapter number 5 where it all starts with the Beatitudes. Sermon on the Mount starts back there. This is when it's hard. And this is why our motivation has to be to please God and to be Christ-like. And notice down there in verse number 11, blessed are ye when men shall what? Revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Is that easy to go through?
No,
that's hard to go through. That is very, very hard to go through. Notice in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Is that encouraging to know somebody else got beat up like you?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, it's not really encouraging to know somebody else got beat up. Like, man, I just got beat up. Well, I got beat up too. That doesn't make me feel any better that you got beat up too. It's not encouraging. Misery does love company, amen, but they don't like to share the pain of it, amen. So there's certain things that you and I will have to go through that really we really don't like to go through. Go over to Luke chapter 6 because they've got the extension of this as well. Luke chapter 6, what we got here? Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, where are we at here? Verse 28. Let's go back up to 27. Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your who?
Enemies.
Do good to them which what?
Hate you.
Bless them that what?
Curse you.
And what else do I need to do for them? Pray for them, which what? Despitefully use you. They're actually doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
They're trying to do this.
Yes, sir.
And what do we like to say? Lord, burn them. Lord, kill them. Lord, break their legs. Break their necks. That's what we want to say. But Jesus said, that's not the way. Now, wait a minute. What if Jesus prayed that way for us?
Yeah.
And we reject him.
Yes.
Lord, just break their leg.
They
don't want to respond to me. It'll break their tongue. You know, just knock it slap out of their mouth. We wouldn't like that. We really wouldn't. And so he lets them know. Verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the what? The other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, what? Forbid not to take thy coat also.
Yeah.
So now I'm just giving away everything. Lord, what are you doing? What is the intent here? God is getting us to the point where it's not about the material. It's about the physical. It's not about the material. It's about the physical. And it's about helping someone else and do good to someone else. Notice verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Say, what? But that belongs to me. Again, materialism kills most Americans. I got stuff. Don't bother my stuff, Daniel. Don't mess with my stuff. This is my stuff. I pay for this stuff with my money. Don't mess with my stuff. You go out there and scratch up somebody's car, that's their stuff.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so don't mess with my stuff. Daniel, if I loan you my stuff, give me my stuff back. If you don't give my stuff back, I will pray for you.
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
You know, and we have this thing, we say, I'm going to pray for you. Well, we really should say, I'm going to pray on you. Amen. That's what we mean. I'm going to pray on. God, beat them. Beat them till they give me my stuff back. They know that's not their stuff. And we forget that this is in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Don't be attached to stuff. Why? Stuff makes you mean and mad towards people. And Jesus died for people.
Yes, sir, he did.
Give me my stuff or I'll pray for you or I'll pray on you or pray God will beat you. Which none of those are accurate nor true. Notice down there in verse Number 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, there's our command, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same.
Yep.
And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your who? Enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Did I skip something here? Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the who? Evil. So he says, now you need to get it together as a Christian person. Amen. Go back over to Matthew chapter 7. So the Sermon on the Mount contains some challenging things in it. And he says, therefore, all things, whatever you would that men should do to you. That's the emphasis there. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do what God does to people. Amen. And when you come down to Matthew 7 and verse number 12 again, notice what he says here. Therefore, all things whatsoever what ye would that men should do to you. That is the impetus of what God is saying. You want to treat people the way I would treat them. God is saying, treat people the way I would treat them. I'm not like a heathen person. I'm not trying to do tit for tat. I'm going to extend love and love and love and love. Jesus Christ was extending love and love and love, and he wants us to do the same thing. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, it says down there, do ye even so to them. So when you come to the unique context of Matthew 7:12, it comes from a heart of service to others. Why? God wanted to serve others. The Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. He was coming down here to be the friend of sinners. So when you look at this passage here, the main thing that we want to look at is I need to give God's love to others, not so much because I want it in return, but because God told me and God gave it to me. And because God gave it to me, I can therefore give it to someone else. For we can't do that unless we're saved. You can't forgive someone else if God hasn't forgiven you first. You can't love someone else if you have not been loved. And that's why oftentimes when we're not saved and our parents raise us negatively, we're going to do the same thing to our children. Because that's what was done to us. That's what we saw. And so because we got this type of treatment, we give that type of treatment. But you give that love, you give that affection, that compassion, that understanding, then in turn, that child can show that and reciprocate that, not just to you, but guess what? A world at large that needs it. We're living in a loveless world right now. It's a dog-eat-dog world more so than it ever has been before, and everybody's out just for themselves. The world's motivation is selfishness. Our motivation is the love of Christ and for Christ and the well-being of others. And so I should want to do this because it is what God would want me to do. Amen. So next week's memory verse is going to be James 1:22. James 1:22. And what that says is, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we want to be a doer of Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. So we want to be a doer of this word. All right. So James 1:22. I remember verse. All right. Everybody got that down?
Amen.
All right. So our motivation, what our motivation is not, A, and what our motivation is, B. Our motivation is positive, not negative. We're not doing things so that we can get that done back to us, but we will get it back if we do it for Christ. Amen. That's just the law of God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Help us leave here, Lord, with a renewed motivation. Lord, we want to do things to others right because that's what you desire for us to do. God, you did that which was right towards us. So help us now to reciprocate that back to others, Lord, to our children, to our bosses, to our coworkers, to our peers, to our classmates, to whoever it is that's around us. Help us, Lord, to do what we would have done to us. We may not get it from that person. But Lord, your law is sure. Be not deceived. God is not mocked whatsoever. A man soweth, that shall he also reap. Work in us, work through us today. Help no corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths. Lord, that which is good to use of edifying to make minister grace to the hearers. And then those things that we would that men should do to us, help us to do them to them. Thank you so much for giving us a motivation of love and a motivation of service to others, because that's what you did. God, work in us, work through us, improve our character, improve our conduct for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it. Bless the refreshments next door as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.